voices in my head. The message this morning is titled, The Power of Being Saved. Power of Being Saved. We're again in 1 John. There's a story in the Bible I think we're all familiar with, of a young man who was probably in his teens, who killed a giant whom the battle-hardened soldiers of Israel were afraid to face. Just, they called him a boy. Soldiers with all their armor and with all their training and with all their muscle were afraid to fight this giant. Yet this young, very slight man faced and was victorious over this giant with only a pebble and a sling. What was the difference between the young shepherd and the soldiers of Israel? The answer is found in our text this morning. Stand with me as we turn to 1 John chapter 4, verses 4 to 6. 1 John 4, 4 to 6. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God, he that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Father, as we study your word this morning, again we pray for your presence. We pray, Father, that you would guide us specifically on these words and teach us and speak to us in the way that each one of us understands. We ask, God, that we would come away from this knowing even more how to stand in this world around us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, this is a verse that is often quoted, 1 John 4, verse 4. Which says, ye are of God, little children, have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Often quoted, often made a memory verse. But there is a danger there. And the danger is, we were talking about before the service this morning, about context. And there can be a misunderstanding here that, boy, we just can run through just about anything because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world, except that's not what it says. Greater is he. You've overcome them, it says. First of all, you have to read the first part of it. Ye are of God, little children, have overcome them. You see that? Not him. You've overcome them. What does that tell you? Context. You need to know the context. Once you know the context, it's a great verse put to memory. It's a great verse to quote. It's a great verse to draw up when you need it, as long as you know what it's talking about. And you can apply it beyond the actual scope of the context, as long as you understand what the context is. So, with that in mind, let's look at that. Our previous text was a warning. That's because that's we're talking about the them here. That's in the previous text. It's a warning about those who would do us more harm than even the most violent of men. See, it's not talking about people that want to harm us physically. It's talking about people who want to harm us spiritually. People who have the spirit of Antichrist. They are the ones who would destroy our very soul if that were possible. No one wants to be physically harmed or killed, but those things, bad as they are only temporary. It doesn't take long for somebody to die physically, and that's over. The greatest danger to human beings is being drawn to a false god that cannot save. That's why there's plenty of warnings in the scriptures, in the letters of the apostles, to people in churches to be sure not to lose what you have. And that is being turned around and turned into a doctrine that you can lose your salvation, which is not so. What you have when you come to a real church, I'm not talking about some of the stuff out there that masquerades as church, but what you have when you're coming to a church that preaches the word of God is you have the truth. That's what you have that you don't want to lose. You have the gospel above all things. In a church that teaches the truth, you have the gospel, how to be saved. And you also have, or should have, many times why you should be saved. So you have a reason. I don't believe in this knock, 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 hello, are you saved? Well, then read this, we'll read this and repeat after me, blah, 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 you're a Christian. That has done a lot of harm and danger. You need to understand why you need to be saved. And when you understand that, then you need to be saved. You don't want to lose what you've got. Well, the problem is, when you start putting it off, is this very thing we're talking about here, the spirit of Antichrist. You can be led astray. You've heard it, you know it's true, you know you should be saved, you know why you should be saved. And then, as is so easy for us human beings to do, you get a little bored and start listening to somebody else, maybe on the radio or TV. Maybe stop going to church and sit at home and watch TV now because you like what you're hearing there. You know, back when the Crystal Cathedral, a lot of people did that. They stayed home and watched Robert Schuller, the spirit of Antichrist. Nothing to do with real salvation. The danger of that comes from those preaching by the influence of the spirit of Antichrist is of being drawn to false gods who cannot save. And that's what those preaching under the influence of the spirit of Antichrist are doing, is drawing people who listen to them away from the truth. And if you're not already saved, woe, woe, woe. Their message causes people to follow a counterfeit god who is the devil, because that's who's behind and empowering every false religion and cult on the planet. Every false religion and cult on the planet. The devil is their god. They may have different names. Maybe it's Kali or Buddha or something like that. But the reality is they're false gods and the devil is behind them. Contrary to some of the popular novels and movies that have been made, the devil can't be beaten or destroyed by a man with three special knives or holding a cross or saying some special words in Latin, or for that matter by any other man-made or man-powered device. Can't be done. The power to withstand the devil and all his demons and followers is in the power of being saved. That's what we're talking about this morning. The power of being saved. The same power that allowed the young man David to go out and face a giant with nothing but a few pebbles and a sling. First of all, the power. Very simple. Ye are of God. Talking to Christians. Ye are of God. In these four little words is the answer to all the devil can ever throw at us. Everything he can throw at us is taken care of with those words, ye are of God. You're a child of God. You've put your faith in Jesus Christ. You've been born again into God's family as his child, and you cannot be touched. The power of being saved is in God and comes only to those who have repented and put their faith in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. We're going to look again at that word this morning because it's so misunderstood. Repenting, or repent and repenting. You must repent and be saved. That's what Jesus said. Those who say that we're preaching some kind of heresy ought to read their Bibles, because that's what Jesus said. Repent and believe. What is repenting? Well, first of all, it's not what saves you. Repenting is not what saves you. But then again, putting your faith in Jesus Christ is not what saves you. Boy, some places there'd be real gasps over that. But the reality is God's grace is what saves you. Amen? God's grace is what saves you. Not your faith. It's God's grace. But you can only access that grace through faith in Jesus Christ. That's how you access. You can't access that faith any other way. You have to put your faith in Jesus Christ to access the grace of God. And in order to put your faith in Jesus Christ, you must first repent. God will not accept you if you decide you're going to do it your way and you're going to keep on doing your own thing and pray some little prayer in the hopes that God will somehow overlook everything and just take you as you are. Kind of the attitude, you know, it's God's loss if he doesn't want me. That's an attitude that's out there with some people. That's a bad attitude, a scary attitude. In order to put your faith in Jesus Christ, you must first repent. And true biblical repentance consists of the following. I hope this is as plain as it can be. Hope it's plain. Biblical repentance consists of, first of all, number one, a true sense of your own guilt and sinfulness. Number two, the understanding of God's mercy in Christ. Number three, an actual hatred of sin and turning from it to God. And finally, a persistent effort to live a holy life by walking with God in obedience to his commandments. A truly repentant person is conscious of guilt, of the stain of personal sin, and of helplessness. Thus he understands that he is what God has always seen him to be and declares him to be, a sinner. I am a sinner by nature. But repentance doesn't consist only of a perception of such a sense of sin, but also a willingness to accept mercy, without which there can be no true repentance. Does that make sense? That's biblical repentance. It's not just, in other words, it's not just words. It's what's really going on in your heart, a real recognition of our problem, which is our own sin, that makes us wicked before God, something we can't fix. A recognition that God is merciful and he is the only answer and I must turn to him. And then the actual willingness to turn to him and turning to him and trusting him, believing him, putting our faith in Jesus Christ. See, that's why I'm so opposed to and have always been so opposed to easy believism. Easy believism takes away the cross. It makes it a no point at all. Who cares that Jesus died when you don't know what it's for? It's for you, it's for me, because there wasn't any other way. I needed that because my sin is so awful and my way was so wrong. But now I fit with the crowd where it says here, ye are of God. It's amazing what happens. Ye are of God. This is the answer to all the devil can ever throw at us. You are a child of God. The next point then is, as a child of God, you have overcome. You have overcome what? You have overcome them. These false teachers and preachers whose guiding spirit is Antichrist. You have immunity to false teaching. Does that mean that you can just quit going to church, quit reading your Bible, and quit praying and everything else because you're immune? No. In fact, if you can do all those things, something's wrong. If you can do those things and they don't bother you, something's really wrong. But if you put your faith in Jesus Christ, truly repented and put your faith in Jesus Christ, you have immunity from false teaching. You're able to withstand in spite of all that comes against you. You have an understanding. When you read the scripture, any portion of scripture, or recall it from memory, you have the Holy Spirit with you to teach you, give you a deeper understanding than before. Note the power of being saved. It's not you who must stand after you've been saved, but the power of God in you that stands. You see, it's never you doing it on your own. Never. God doing it in you. You have to keep trusting God. You know where the danger comes for us as Christians is we're tempted again and again to make decisions on our own, to stand on our own two feet, as you were probably told growing up. But it's not you who must stand after you've been saved, but the power of God in you. You need to stand on the rock that is Jesus Christ. You have overcome them in God, the false teachers and preachers operating by the spirit of Antichrist, because the one who is in you is greater than them. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They, the them that's mentioned there, are empowered by him, the devil. You overcome them instead of being overcome and brought into spiritual bondage. Now let's look a little closer at he that is in you. God, the Holy Spirit, has come down and moved into your heart when you put your faith in Jesus Christ. That's what happened. That's so important. Isn't that amazing? It's like the temple in Israel. The Holy of Holies, that's your heart. God came down and moved into your heart, your temple. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 3:16, know ye not that ye are the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Isn't that amazing? The Spirit of God dwells in you. When you put your faith in Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God came and dwells in you. God, the Holy Spirit, dwells in you. He that is in you. Next one is he that is in the world, the contrast, the devil, the spirit of Antichrist is in the world. Back to that other, he that is in you. Now he, while he dwells in you, he is still not bound by anything in this world or universe. He is not of this world. He is greater than this world. He is the creator of this world. That's he who is in you. He is omnipotent. He's omnipresent. While he dwells in you, he dwells in others as well, and he's everywhere, all at the same time. He especially, specifically dwells in you to work actively in you, in your heart, as a Christian. He that is in the world, the devil, the spirit of Antichrist. Jesus called him the prince of this world in John chapter 12, 31, John 14, 30, John 16, 11. Revelation 12 verse 9 says, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. And he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. The devil is the god of this world. Now, the devil is not omnipotent. Omnipotent means all powerful. He is not. The devil has a bit in his mouth and reins held by the hand of God. He can only go so far in any direction, and he's reined in. God has strict control over the devil, regardless of what our eyes might tell us. God's plan is working, and people are being saved in this world, saved to the uttermost. People that wouldn't be saved are being saved because the devil's own plans are turning around and being used against him. It's a sad fact of humanity. You see all the terror going on in the world. It's a sad fact of humanity that when times are easy and comfortable, few people will come to Christ. Haiti, they fought for years. Many, many missionaries fought to lead people to Christ, and it seemed futile. That island nation was under the power of the devil, so deeply steeped in a mixture of Roman Catholicism and voodoo, which is just pure devil. Nothing would work. And then they got hit by a terrible earthquake, mudslides, people dying, no place, just awful stuff going on. It's still bad down there. And people started being saved by hundreds at a single meeting. Don't ever think that the world is out of control when you see terrible things going on. No, 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 no. God is very much in control of the devil. And The devil very much is used to suit God's purpose. Just pay attention to the one who's holding his reins, not to the one with the bit in his mouth. The devil is not omnipotent. Only God is. The devil is not omnipresent. He's not everywhere all the time. The devil is not omniscient like God. He doesn't know everything. He's incredibly smart, way smarter than you or I, but he doesn't know everything. God does, though. And the devil cannot indwell you as a saved child of God. You cannot be possessed when you're a child of God. God is in you, and greater is he who is in you. Then we come to verse 5. They who are in the world, who's that talking about? They who are of the world are those who teach and preach in the spirit of Antichrist and their followers. So it's a combination of those who teach and preach in the spirit of Antichrist and all who follow them. And this encompasses most of the population of the world, because most people in the world follow the spirit of Antichrist, whether actively or passively they're following the spirit of Antichrist. If they're not saved, they're following the spirit of Antichrist. They're believing the lie that I am God, I am more important than anybody around me, that what happens to me means more than anything, and that I need to be number one all the time. That's the spirit of Antichrist. They think like the rest of the world. Many, unfortunately, in churches today fall into this category as well. They go to church, they claim to be saved, and some even lead churches, yet they are of the world, and they speak of worldly things. They approve of worldly things. It's no wonder that so many claiming to be Christians today openly approve of things such as homosexuality, gay marriage, sex before marriage, living together in sexual relationships, which the Bible calls fornication, and even approving of abortion, especially in certain circumstances such as rape. There's no circumstance that warrants killing a child. What did the child do? But it's twisted by the spirit of Antichrist. These things are all of the world, of the spirit of Antichrist, and without any question, are not of God. Many listen to them. Many do listen to them. As a Christian today, don't be surprised if others who consider themselves Christians, even having prayed some kind of salvation prayer, asking Jesus to or into their hearts and attending evangelical churches, turn on you. Don't be surprised if they turn on you. Don't be surprised if they attack you. It happens to me often. Call you intolerant and unkind only because you're standing on what the Word of God says. That's God's Word. That matters. That's God's Word. How dare we say that it doesn't matter at any point, or say it's irrelevant at any point? That's presumptuous. That's the spirit of Antichrist. The Bible says, they're of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. That's where it's coming from. And sadly, many of them have actually been deceived. So, well, that's not fair. Well, they started out in rebellion to God. Nothing's changed. They just think they can have their cake and eat it too. That appeals to them. But it's wrong. If they would read their Bibles, they'd know. Then verse 6 talks about we who are of God. That's us. We who have repented and put our faith in Jesus Christ are of God. We have been, as 1 Peter 1:23 says, born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Can you lose your salvation? No. You've been born again. This happened by the will of God, not by anything that we can do. The Jews rejected Christ. Most of the world rejected Christ. Most of the world continues to reject Christ, including so many who claim to be Christians. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. All who received him, who accepted the gift of God, salvation through Jesus Christ, have been born again by the power of God. Amen? God has done it. It's God's grace that we're saved by those who are of God, who are of our number. Hear and understand biblical doctrine. This word hear, when you see the word hear in the Bible, it's talking about more than just hearing a noise. It's talking about actually paying attention to something, actually listening and digesting it and understanding it and grasping it and embracing it. That's what it's talking about. And finally, discerning the spirits. Here once again is how to tell the difference. We're told yet again how to tell the difference. And again, this is part of the power of being saved, the power that comes with being saved, the very power of God, the Holy Spirit, as he indwells us. We who are of God, born again believers upon true repentance and faith in Jesus Christ, hear, understand, attend to, believe, and accept biblical doctrine, even if it puts us at odds with the world around us, even if it's painful, even if it convicts us in some way about something in our own lives that we don't like, we still accept it when we know it's the Word of God. We will accept biblical correction, even if it's hard, because we know it's right, and because by the power of God, we can. That's where the power of salvation is. It's the power of God. It's what gives us the power to change, the power to be different from the world, the power to stand, the power to not only hear God's word, but to believe it, not only to believe it, but to take it as our own and live by it. Those who are not of God will not listen to biblical truth. It's easy to see. And it's sad. But we need to accept this, and more even today, as the world's going the way it is, we need to accept this fact. Don't be lulled into thinking, well, I'm just being intolerant, or maybe I'm being judgmental. Those are words that are thrown at us like darts, more like rocks sometimes. You hear people saying things that are not scriptural. You hear Christians denying portions of the Bible, openly denying the things that God has so clearly said, that's not coming from the Spirit of Christ. That's the spirit of Antichrist. You're not doing them any favors to tolerate that or to go along with it. You can't say, well, he's my brother, but we just see things a little. No! It's hard, but this is what we're said here. They who are not of God will not listen to biblical truth. If they will not listen to biblical truth, they are not of God. And what kind of favor are you doing them by not exercising biblical judgment on that? I'm not talking about personal judgment. I'm talking about biblical judgment. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says they're not of God. They will reject anything that makes them uncomfortable or that goes against society's status quo. That's why today you've got churches and even evangelicals more and more and more accepting homosexuality as normal and now starting to grab the whole mess of all the different gender orientations and everything else. It's just going on and on and on, and society is getting all rah-rah. But I have a friend who yesterday posted something and it got banned. He got kicked off Facebook for it. It showed that a chart with all the different genders they recognize now. And it's a huge chart, and he put a little box. These two are the genders, and these are mental health issues. He got kicked off Facebook for it. But there's lots of Christians that believe that way. That's not what the Bible says. That's why the world's going the way it's going. There was a time there's not a chance that kind of stuff would have even been recognized or tolerated or anything. There was a time when society said, this far and no farther, because that's what the Bible said. But today what has happened is Christians, more and more and more, who call themselves Christians, are accepting stuff that's not true, listening to the wrong people, not even being properly saved to start with, and then going ahead and standing with the rest of society, accepting things that should not be so. We can't do that. If we can rescue one unsaved evangelical and lead him to Christ, hallelujah, the angels in heaven will be in the presence of rejoicing. That's God himself rejoicing over that one person. We're told those who are not of God will not listen to biblical truth. They will reject anything that makes them uncomfortable, that goes against society's status quo. Neither they nor their leaders will accept correction. That's how we know they're not of Christ. It's how we clearly know the spirit of truth and spirit of error. The power of being saved is the power of God himself. It is by his grace that we are saved, not by works. Our repentance doesn't save us. Our faith doesn't save us. See, we sometimes don't understand what the word by means in the Bible, and that's where some of the confusion has come. And if faith saves us, then there's a contradiction. There are contradictions in the Bible. See what I'm saying? Because we're told we're saved by grace through faith. In other places, by faith, what by means is, it means same as through. We misunderstand sometimes. It is the conduit, if you want to say. It's like saying power comes into my house by that wire. Okay? But the power doesn't come from the wire at all. Power comes from the power plant, the place that's producing the power. The wire is just what it comes through. It comes by that wire. But the wire is not the source. Okay? We are saved by grace. It doesn't, our faith or repentance doesn't save us, but by or through, in other words, our repentance and faith, we access God's amazing grace, which is what saves us. So important. We have to come to God the right way. We have to tell people that. Repentance and faith. Why is it so important? Because anything else is presumption. If we come to God any other way, we're saying, I know how to come to God better than he does. Jesus said, repent and believe. What did he say to those people in one place? He said, unless you repent, you shall likewise perish. That's how important repentance is. We need to come to him properly. But when he does, man, the grace of God is poured out and takes a rotten sinner like me and turns me into a child of God. Isn't that something? When God saves us, he gives us a new spirit, the Holy Spirit, who continues to teach us the truth and shows us when something isn't true. And he shows us when we're doing something wrong. He points out that we ought not to be thinking about that. And when we do something that he's told us we shouldn't do, he reminds us that we need to confess it and get it out of our lives. God, the one who is in us, is greater than the one who is in the world, the devil. There's a battle going on with humanity between God and the devil, but we can't be deceived because God's greater. And God is infinitely greater. There's no contest. This is important. We see movies and stuff. A lot of it comes out of Catholicism. There is no contest between God and the devil. There is no contest. It's not even close. The difference between God and the devil is infinitely greater than the difference between me and a mosquito. That's true. It's a fact. The devil is a created being. God spoke him into existence. God can speak him out of existence. He can speak him into chains. He's going to do that. The devil is so puffed up that he thinks that he can actually stand up to God. And so many follow him who think the same way. We cannot. Nobody can. People need to hear the truth. People need to put their faith in Jesus Christ. People need to say, my way is wrong. I am a sinner. God is merciful. I will turn to him. And I put my faith in Jesus Christ. Repentance and faith. And then God's grace makes them clean. There's no contest between God and the devil. He is nothing before God, in whom we have our lives as his children. The Bible says, submit therefore to God, resist the devil, and he shall flee from you. Flee! Run away! When we submit to God. And this is the power of being saved. Amen? It's amazing. Let's stand for prayer.